Well, hello, my dear friends. We are back with another vodcast. And today we have a super mama on the call with us. I'm just going to put my spectacles on as I introduce Vanessa Alfaro, who is known as the Empowered Communicator. And quoting her, she says, "My mission is to coach women on how to have effective and courageous conversations in their lives. I also help women transform anger from destructive patterns of expression to healthy and creative ones so that they unapologetically step into their greatness and powerfully speak their truth. And I'm an expert in resolving conflict." Well, with an intro like that, of course, I had to invite Vanessa onto this show. I too have, well, back in the day, I used to call it an Irish temper. I could go from 0 to 10 in 3 seconds flat, and that could be pretty aggressive and violent with my words, not so much with my fists. I love this conversation. I want to jump straight in. For a few days, I've been umming and ahhing because I knew Vanessa was coming up, and I wasn't sure, is this the right time now that we're in quarantine? And of course, we're all getting our headlines regarding the coronavirus outbreak. But inside of me, that voice said, now is the time. You may not understand why, but now is the time. Get her on the vodcast. So here we are. Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for bearing with me on this one.
Hi, Naya. Yes, now it's, I understand, and I'm really grateful to be here with you and to be sharing what I've accumulated over the years in my own personal work with anger and rage. So thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you. Maybe you would just jump in with, why is now a good idea to have this conversation?
Well, I did give this some thought before we decided to do this together, knowing that, because I remember you brought up, is this the right time to be invoking and talking about and expressing anger and rage? And it is true that for some people, anger and rage is very present and up for them. But what I see happening because of the coronavirus is that there's so much fear and panic and anxiety in the world. Mm-hmm. And I believe that anger and fear are very connected. Yeah. Anger is a powerful emotion that's can be expressed maybe more easily than the fear. I believe that what is under our rage is fear, terror, and deep, deep sadness that many of us have repressed for a long, long time because we weren't given the skills or the tools on how to be with these feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I speak to my mum 3 times a day. She's in the UK. She's with my dad. So they're elderly, they're self-contained, and I'm here in France. And I'm doing my absolute best to just hold this situation. But in the truth of my heart, I don't even know if I'm going to see them again. Mm-hmm. And every day, I mean, she calls me Julie because that's my birth name. So every day she says, Julie, it feels like I'm living a nightmare. I wake up and there's a moment of happiness, like, yay. And then it lands in her heart again. And I've never heard my mum ever speak like that. My mum also, she had like what I would call like a cold anger. It was very spiky, very, it was like a stalactite or a stalagmite, and it would come out and just stab you coldly, and you'd go, wah! Whereas my dad has a hot anger. You know exactly where you stand with my father, and that's kind of like the expression I took on. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing, ooh, mum's getting underneath that kind of stalactite. And, you know, a few weeks ago, she was angry with the confinement. I haven't been angry yet. I'm just buckets of grief everywhere. I also wanted to share how there could be times, justified times of sacred rage. Yesterday, I heard that a load of guys, a load of young men from Britain really confronted the police yesterday. The police were asking them to go back home and stay in. And in the headlines, we heard that they were coughing and spitting all over the police and just simply seeming to not care about this confinement rule that we've all sort of kind of agreed to for good reasons, so it seems. So when I read this, I felt that familiar feeling come up inside of me. And I've battled a long time of suppressing that back down. Maybe you can speak about that. We feel it come up and then we push it back down because it's inappropriate and not polite and it's going to cause a really huge scene.
Yeah. As you said that, I felt when you said I push it back down, there was so much energy. Like, I have to push that back down. And what you're doing is you're pushing that energy back into you. So I have many thoughts. They're just all coming at me right now. The first thing I want to start off with is that I read this beautiful yukti, and how every atom, every cell in our body is a flame. We are all part, everything is part of a sun. We are so powerful and energetic. Like, this is what we do as human beings. We are here to express. We're here to express, express, express. This is what we do. And emotions, which describe the our body's sensations, is what we're here to do, express those emotions. So going back to those young men, on the one hand, whatever we're reading out there, it's really important to be discerning about that. We don't really know what the entire truth is about how those young men really reacted. And if they did spit and cough, it's clear that they are incredibly rageful and angry. And then to read that for you on your part, yes, you were triggered. You were triggered. And that's okay. That's okay. And when we get angry, it's because we have an unmet need. And these needs that are that I'm talking about come from nonviolent communication. Needs are not, I'm a needy person. Needs are our life-serving energy that motivates and sustains us. So a need for food, shelter, peace, safety, beauty, connection, community, cooperation, transcendence. I mean, those are the needs I'm talking about. So for you, so you have these young men who are angry and pissed off and kind of like, fuck you and fuck everybody. They're deeply scared. They're deeply scared to be so aggressive and even violent. But you were triggered because you have a need for awareness, for cooperation, for consideration, for safety, for peace, respect.
Respect, that's my one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a word coming up for you? What do you have a need for?
No, that was it. My word was respect, and then you just said it. And I often say that in my closest relationships. I need you to respect me. And if ever I feel I'm disrespected, oh my God, run for cover, everybody. Yeah.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
And that respect piece looks different for everyone. You know, what respect is to you, respect is different to me. And, you know, it's just different. It's defined differently, but it's a real value.
Yeah.
And we have a right to that. We all have a right. This is our birthright to feel, to want, to act, all of that, to be here and to express. So I have this practice, like in the moment when you're angry, it's okay to acknowledge, I'm angry because I need respect. You're giving yourself empathy. I'm angry because I need respect. I'm angry because I need clear communication. I'm angry because I need love and affection. So that's
a difficult one to admit.
Oh.
That's a vulnerable place to go. I often feel that with my partner, but I have never been vulnerable enough to say that. I want to say that. That is what's underneath it all. Maybe I'll say it now that I've spoken to you.
Can you just say it to me?
Say it again. Let me hear it.
I'm angry because I need love and connection. Was it connection?
Affection. So here we go. Live. I'm angry because I need love and affection. Yeah, there's movement. There's like little fish, little goldfish, kind of just swimming across the lower abdomen. It's like, whoa, you haven't gone here before.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I need to say to him.
And it's very different language. It's I. There's no him or you involved. It's just, this is what I need, love and affection. I need love and affection. It's not, I'm angry because you don't give me love and affection.
Right. Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. Okay, let me try it again. I'm angry because I need love and affection. Yeah, that's more tender, that's more vulnerable. And it's as if the I heard me speaking on its behalf. So there was a twinge, little twinge in the heart as well. So you got the goldfish. The goldfish like, oh, you haven't been here before. And then you've got the, ooh, you've just addressed me. You've just acknowledged something about me.
That is sacred.
Yeah.
Because you're listening to your I, your self.
Yes.
In a way that you haven't before.
No.
And your self is like, thank you, and expressing in your body, in your heart, in your belly.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So coming, oh yeah,
no, you have a thought? I was going to say, before we move on, I would love for you to share how you get women to connect with this anger. And maybe there's like little practices they could do at home during this time on the inside.
So I actually, in that moment, that coming back to what you read about those young men and the police, right? It was clear that the anger surfaced for you.
Yeah.
It was there. And then you pushed it down. Probably thinking, oh, this isn't the time. Mm-hmm. We need to have love. We need to have compassion. We need to be open. We need to, right now is not the time for me to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So in those moments, no, it's actually time. Give yourself empathy. I'm angry right now. I'm really fucking angry because I want respect. It could be as, you know, whatever, in however intense you want it to say it. And this is done in a private place.
Yeah.
This is for you. And then what's really important is to vent. Give yourself permission to vent. Because the thoughts are there.
Yeah.
The thoughts are already there. And you can be incredibly intentional about it. I'm going to vent. I'm making a conscious choice to vent because this is for me. Yeah. I need to release that energy. This is for me. It's not about making these young men bad or the police or the situation or the coronavirus or the world. No. This is for me. Because if I try to suppress my thoughts, I'm still suppressing that energy that gets stored in us.
Yeah.
That powerful energy that gets locked into our bodies that causes illness and sickness and disease and everything else.
Yeah.
So you have to give yourself permission to vent.
I played around with the scenario. I could feel my response because, you know, I was reading the news. It's not as if I was there, but I was imagining, you know, why am I so troubled by this? And so I just kept following it to the worst case scenario. And as I was saying, I'm in France, mum and dad are in England. I'm an only child, so there's no one there to protect them. So I just kept taking this thought to a place where it really was like a molten, but it wasn't a rage anymore. It was an absolute terror because the worst case scenario was that these guys were spitting on my parents and, oh God, I feel it now. And I'm not there to protect them. So that has been the story this morning. The rage, spitting at the police because of lack of respect, and, you know, potentially throwing this virus around left, right, and center. But my own work, you know, hang on a minute, I'm only reading this on the internet. I'm not seeing it for real. And knowing that, you know, I have you coming up this afternoon. And then, you know, finding that the tip of the spear, which was, I'm afraid there's people like that in England right about now. And what if they come to my mom and dad? And what if they do it to them? They're in their 70s, they're frail. My father has a terminal disease. You know, because everything is on the edge right now.
Yes. Yeah. And then your mind starts spinning. It's beautiful that you went down this path to understand why for yourself.
Mm.
And then with that, your mind is just also spinning and creating more chaos and fear within yourself.
Yeah.
So it's important. That's the venting piece to really let it out. And it's directed, again, this is in a private space.
Mm.
But you vent and you direct it to the young men.
Yeah.
You direct it to, and you write it out and you vent. and you keep venting, you get really, it's a tantrum.
Yeah.
It's giving ourselves permission to have a tantrum.
Mm.
It's letting our child, like, just release. Mm. And, you know, children, they're so, you know, a 2-3-year-old, 4-year-old, they're having a tantrum. I hate you.
Yeah.
I just hate you. And they're children. So they, you know, they can be really expressive with their anger and rage. And so we have to give ourselves permission to vent, to be childish, to be petty, to release it on paper. It's important to write it, move it out, and then to speak it out loud.
Mm.
Say it out loud with intention.
Yeah.
This is for me. This is for me. This is for me. The universe is infinite. There's as much abundance as there, you know, there's no lack. There's abundance in the universe.
Yeah.
So this can be done with intention. So you say it out loud, and then you can rip up that paper or burn it, and you keep venting. You keep venting. And you're breathing.
Mm.
You've got to also breathe to calm. Again, it's this child in you that needs, like, comfort.
Mm.
And so when you release that anger, which will feel powerful, like, yes, yes.
Mm.
You have to slow down and also hold yourself and breathe in the process.
Yeah.
And breathe. And soothe your, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, when I've again given myself that permission, there's so much bodily phenomena. And one of my things is my jaw.
Yes.
It starts, I cannot stop the lower jaw from shaking. And the coldness that comes. Yeah, and that's quite a surprise. So much bodily phenomena.
Yeah. Why is it surprising?
When I'm unconsciously angry, I'm just unconsciously angry. I'm in charge. I'm saying everything. I've got the power. When I do it consciously, when I really go there with prayer, because I need to really go there, then it's like I cross an edge. I cross a threshold. It's not angry and hateful anymore. It's now healing. You're going into the realm of cathartic, unpredictable, really out there healing. And then that's when all the unusual activity comes. Because I'm being mad and I'm praying at the same time.
Mm.
I'm praying for that grace. I'm praying for that mercy, and that's the sort of strange alchemy I do with it. You know, I'm really fierce on the outside and absolutely begging for mercy on the inside. And I almost go extra far because I really want that sacred connection.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only when there's no one around.
Of course.
Once before in the company of others, and I was quite surprised that they wanted to remain friends afterwards. That's a vulnerable piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It is vulnerable to express and show our anger and rage in front of others.
Yeah.
Because again, it was squashed for many of us. It was squashed a long time ago.
Mm.
Stop. You're embarrassing me. You're making me mad.
Mm.
From our parents or our caretakers. That's what we heard. Stop. It wasn't okay. Whatever it was that we were doing.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly, like, if we cannot show our anger and rage with our caretakers and our parents, then how on earth are we going to show it with others?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So it is. It is vulnerable. And I do want to emphasize that this expression, this releasing is done alone.
Yeah.
I mean, alone in the sense that no one is around, but I'm there.
Mm.
You can, the universe is there.
Oh my God, I would love to do that with you.
Energy is here. You're so in our process, it does feel like we're very alone, but we're really not. We're not alone. We are with source and energy to guide and support us, because the universe knows how powerful this is, this feeling and this emotion. And when you feel it in your body, that's more release.
Yeah.
The jaw is really interesting because it's the jaw is connected to our hips. And in, you know, the chakras are root feelings and actions. It's all located here in our hips, right? Our physical expression all comes from this lower area. So it's really interesting that your jaw is activated during that. So as you're going through that, you know, relax the jaw, perhaps move your hips to relax your tongue.
Yes. Yeah.
And then breathe.
Yeah.
The one thing I would want to encourage you to do is to separate the, allow yourself to vent, to be angry, and then you can pray. Allow yourself, give yourself permission. I'm going to be mean and childish and petty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can pray.
Yeah. That feels good.
Yeah.
I've always known that this wild, mad force was inside of me since I was a child. And I often thought if I really, really go there, really allow it to come through, that I would suffer some kind of permanent madness, that I'd step across like a forbidden threshold and I'd never be able to come back and be me again. Or I'd end up killing someone. So that kept me cautious in my 30s, you know, going into my 40s. And, as I wrote to you, it was only, I don't know, I was about 45, 46 when I had to cross that threshold. And none of that happened. Not at all. And it was definitely a turning point. And I do feel weeks later, it wasn't immediate, weeks later, there was a softness about me, a gentleness, the edge, the fear, no, not the fierce, the sharp edge had softened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've only ever really done it once, really, really gone there once. Maybe it's time to go there again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, a lot of the women say that to me. They are afraid of where it might lead and that they can't be held accountable for what they might say and what they might do. Would you agree you come across that? A fear of releasing?
Yes. In fact, as you were saying that, I was tuning into my own inner world around that. I too was afraid because I didn't know how.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to express it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
I didn't. And I searched, believe me, I, you know, meditation, therapy, spiritual practices. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
I was on a path. And when I was doing my research and I came across these steps that I learned through nonviolent communication, and I adapted those steps and I deepened the work, and that was it. That is what helped me move through the anger and the rage. And these steps help you get to what's under it all, with the understanding that, oh, I'm really hurt because I want love and affection. I'm really hurt and scared because I want respect.
You're able to get in, you're touching places.
And so with this step work, it helped me, like, oh, finally I have a practice and a tool to work through this. And I'm not going to go crazy and be so out of control. The venting part, that's the place where it can last.
Yes.
And the more you open this channel, for me personally, I still work with it all the time.
Yeah.
Like I the venting part is like, and I want this out of me.
Yeah.
And it does feel wild and irrational and just sort of primordial.
Yeah.
But I know this. I know this. And I know, and I work through the process and the steps to, because I know it will pass. It always does. For many of us, we're not going to be this like, and it's endless. I mean, it would be so exhausting, and I don't know. Like, I just can't imagine that just never ending. But these feelings pass.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you open, and the more vulnerable feelings are suddenly present. And that's when the softening happens. Yeah. That's when the tears flow. That's when you're breathing again. That's when you're taking care of the one, the little one who's in terror. That's when you're holding little Anaya, like, oh, everything is okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot involved in this. It's so worth it. And you have to be so willing and wanting to work through the steps, but it's all release, awareness, acknowledge, wanting what you want, your desire. So with your partner, I'm hurt because I want more love and affection. Would you be willing to hold me more?
Yeah.
And what would you be willing to do for yourself to get the love and affection that you need? What commitment would you make to yourself? Which is really powerful. That's where your power comes in. Like, oh.
Yeah.
This is what I can do for myself.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah. So it's beautiful work. And then there's just this, the holding of, oh, this is my little one. And stepping into as your divine parental mother, father, self, holding self.
Yeah. So with this quarantine period upon us, what could you say? It's going to mostly be women who are listening and watching. What would you say to them regarding this topic, regarding this moment, regarding the situation we're in? If these people listening and watching are acknowledging, this is interesting, this is something I need to pay attention to, I recognize this. What could they be doing during this time?
Well, Well, I was thinking earlier in what I said that maybe one of the keys to working with anger and rage is, yes, it's obvious when the feeling comes up and you're familiar with it. But one of the keys with really working in it is to notice the subtlety of anger and rage, which are often masked by words of, oh, I'm annoyed. Oh, I'm irritated.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to let this get to me.
Mm.
Oh, I shouldn't be angry right now, given the state of the world. So many people are suffering.
Mm.
I don't have a right to this feeling. It's not helpful.
Mm.
It's unproductive.
Mm.
It's bad energy.
Yeah.
So being really aware of these thoughts. And I think, you know, it's such an opportunity. You're at home. Hopefully you have a space to really go. We are literally being told to stay inside.
Yeah.
Stay inside. And yeah. Go, for me, that's like, ah, mm. Here is an opportunity to go inward.
Mm.
To go inward and to really take care of yourself. And if the anger is up and it's there, give yourself empathy. I'm angry right now because I need.
Mm.
Give yourself permission to vent. Acknowledge what you want. What are you willing to do?
Mm.
And hold yourself during this time. Really draw on your magnificence, your maternal, your divine. Like, this here is an opportunity for us to really step into ourselves, to take care of ourselves and to change within, and not waiting for others to change so that we can change,
mm.
but to really take this moment to soothe and to love in a way that we never have before.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have anything you would like to add to the last piece? At the end of, in the credits of this video will be how to find you, how to work with you, how to carry on this conversation. But your parting shot, so to speak.
I think one of the biggest things right now is what I want to say is to pay attention to what you're consuming from the media, because it's incredibly activating and it's incredibly toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
So as you get ready to watch the news or take in information,
mm-hmm.
try a practice to really ground and settle yourself.
Yeah.
As you move in towards whatever it is you'll take in with your eyes, your ears, whatever it is.
Mm.
And if you are triggered, if you are in that place of terror, I still equate it with the rage.
Yes.
That take some time for yourself to take care of yourself and don't spin.
Mm.
Instead, just vent. Allow yourself to vent. Give yourself permission. And then soothe yourself. And love yourself.
Mm.
And if you're around a partner, family, ask them to just hold you.
Mm.
To just hold you. You don't need to explain why. Just make a request. Please hold me. Yeah, this is such an amazing time to go inward and to really draw from ourselves and really tap into what is so remarkable and magnificent about each and every one of us.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
You're welcome. What a pleasure. I'm
so gonna drop you an email when I've actually said it. I've actually said that piece. Yeah. Wow, what a gift. What a gift to get something personal from you. I thought we'd just be chatting. I didn't think for a moment I'd be on the hot seat. Glad I was. Bless your heart. Okay, Vanessa. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's an honor.